In John chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there with me, and I'm going to be reading some other scriptures during the course of this message, that I would like for y'all to know how wonderful and how powerful an experience that you can have with God. I mean, if you're a sinner here this morning, I'd like for you to be encouraged. The Lord sent his, God sent his Son to make this experience possible. And for everyone that is saved, I just want you to rejoice in your experience. Hey, amen. There's a lot of people without hope. There's some Christians, I believe, have given up hope that they can have victory. But I'd just like to challenge you here this morning, if you pay attention to what the Word of God says. Not me, but what the Bible says. In John chapter 3, this famous scripture says, "There came a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You know, Jesus didn't beat around the bush on this, did he? "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." I want to preach on being born again here today. Being born again. Now, we kind of look at Nicodemus with pity, don't we? Here this fellow was a ruler, a teacher, and a very prominent man in Israel. But yet, when Jesus brought up the idea of being born again, don't you think to a certain extent it sounds funny? Almost ridiculous, his answer. How can a man be born when he's old? And he scratches his head and looks perplexed. I mean, this teacher, this intellectual, he said, and then he brings up this. This really sounds ridiculous to me. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, I'll just be honest. Nicodemus didn't show a whole lot of depth and understanding in that statement there, did he? It doesn't even sound reasonable. But you know, to a certain extent, I hate to say it, but I believe a lot of religious people in America have probably gone to the other extreme. For you see, what has happened is that we went from Nicodemus's shock, amazement, something where that he basically did understand this was something radical. This was something amazing. This was a new life. This was something different. This was a big change. This was a dramatic, miraculous new beginning. This is just like being born all over again. I mean, we went from the innocent, almost ridiculously innocent shock of the new birth to, oh, being born again, that's no big deal. You know, anybody can be born again. You can be born again and look at pornography and drink and commit adultery and do all kinds of stuff. That's not a big deal. Come to the Lord. Come and pray and get born again and leave the same way you always was. You know, I almost think maybe Nicodemus's view was a little bit better than our view. Because at least he still had the idea that this was a dramatic, an amazing change that's about to take place. When he's talking about being born again, he's just like talking about starting life all over again. This is something new, but we've got it to the place where that, you know, it's a term that's almost overused. I mean, kind of like the term awesome. I mean, you can have an awesome piece of pie. You know, I mean, awesome means awe-inspiring, standing in awe. I mean, wow. I've liked pie, but I've never done that to pie. Really. But I'll tell you, I've stood in awe of God. Now, He is awesome. I've looked at some of the creation and just said, wow. And it was awesome. I mean, when a joke is awesome, I mean, come on now. I mean, I'm not preaching against that. If you want to use that term loosely, you can. The point I'm making is that if you use a term in a low way, then a lot of times when you get up and say, God's awesome, say, yeah, so was that joke I heard before church. You know? I mean, listen, there's a difference. There really is a difference. And when people get to throwing around the word born again, hey, I'm born again, everybody's born again, everybody's born again. Nightclub owners born again, everybody's born again. Pornography store owners born again, everything born again, born again, born again. It loses its power. And I really honestly just wish we'd get back to being kind of like Nicodemus. Wow. You mean a brand new start? You mean something that's a dramatic change? It's like being born all over again? Is that what you really mean, Jesus? I'd like for us to get back to that and maybe religious people chuckle at how foolishly we believe the Bible. Rather than being like these careless people. You know, there's a man that wrote a book called The Dumbing Down of America. I think it's a book or maybe it's an article. Maybe it's Thomas Sowell wrote an article in a paper. And he said what it was, we had an educational system that was here and we had students that was here. And instead of bringing the students up to the intellectual level of the educational system, we brought the educational system down to the level of the students and we dumbed down the curriculum and we dumbed down America. I'll tell you what has happened. We have a new birth that's up here, that's a radical change, that's an amazing transformation, that's like starting life all over again. And we have churches that have an experience that's way down here. And instead of saying, wait a second, something's wrong, we need to move up to what the Bible says, we brought the Bible down to what we're living. I think it's about time that we look at the Word of God and said, wow, being born again, that's radical. That's a change. That's a dramatic, miraculous thing that only God can do. Hey, man, in all reality, people say, well, I'd like for people to just kind of feel like they can get into this new birth and it's not that big a deal, so more people will get born again. The fact of the matter is, you leave people hopeless. You leave people absolutely hopeless when you have a new birth that makes you a child of God and you're going to go to heaven, but somehow it doesn't change your life down here in this world. What hope can you do? Can you give to a drug addict? And say, listen, if you'll come and give your heart to Jesus, He'll move in. It'll be something radical that takes place when you die. You go to heaven then. What hope do you give an alcoholic? Say, now listen, you come down here a drunkard, you get born again, you'll leave a drunkard, and that'll be all right. You'll go to heaven someday and quit drinking. What hope does it give to a family that's fractured and splintered and full of strife and stubbornness and hateness and a hard heart, saying, listen, if you come down here, this isn't going to change your life in any way or whatsoever. You're just going to be born again. It'll take place when you die. I want to ask you something. Does that make death more powerful than the cross? Because death changes people. I mean, all of a sudden when people die, they're going to live holy. All of a sudden when people die, they're going to have a miraculous transformation. But Jesus dying on the cross couldn't change them down here in this world. I just want you to know, being born again is what the Bible says it is. It's not what people says that it is. It is a hope-filled thing. It is a new lease on life. And you say, well, Brother Lloyd, I live a completely very good life. Wonderful. Do you know what? Being born again is having a brand new life that's better than the life you have right now. Hallelujah. You don't even know anything about living until that you're born again. Amen. Jesus said, I'm come to that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly than what? More abundantly than any sinner in this world can ever think about having it. Hallelujah. I want you to know being born again is a dramatic and radical transformation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, there is this mind-blowing scripture. By verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's not the gospel of a lot of churches nowadays. I'm telling you, when you really get saved, old things die and all things become new, just like the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, there's another scripture that I love. The Apostle Paul's talking to the Christians and telling them to put off the old man, that old sinner man, put him off. But that's not all. Listen, you just don't quit sinning and quit your old ways when you get saved. You got something to do. Some people think Christianity must be boring because they have to give up all the stuff they do now that fills up their life. Hey, there's a lot more to do on the other side of the new birth. Praise God. There's a whole new life that opens up. It says, and put on the new man in verse 24. Put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the new man. That's the new birth. There's righteousness and true holiness there. You know, there are some marks of the new birth I'd like to go through here real quickly. And I may need some help, brother. Brother Kevin, would you look up 1 John 5 and 1? And Brother Terry, would you look up John 1 and 12? I'd appreciate that. Brother Doyle House, would you look up 1 John 5? And I'll ask you to read 1 through 3 there, or we'll pick up maybe around 2 and 3. And then we'll go on from there. But Brother Kevin, would you read for me at 1 John 5 and 1, let's listen to what the Bible tells us about born-again people. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, what?
Is born of God.
You see, when somebody really believes in Jesus Christ, they're born again. And in John 1 and 12, Brother Terry, these kind of go together here. When you're born again, you become a child of God. You become a part of the family of God.
But as many as received
Jesus,
to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. You get the point there. If you really believe in Jesus the Christ, you're born again. And if you really receive him, receiving and believing is about the same thing. You say, but Brother Lloyd, now wait a second. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive him and I believe on him. Well, you know, I think that what people are missing sometimes is there's a difference between just accepting the historic fact of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and really receiving him and believing him. There was a whole city that received Jesus one day. Boy, I'm telling you, they got palm branches off. They're waving, Hosanna, save us, O Messiah. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. They took their coats off. They put them before him as he was riding through the streets. They was praising him. They was worshiping him. They was having a great time. And the next week, they was shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. They received him. Is that all right? Were they born again? Oh, no. No, they weren't born again. You see, there's a difference between receiving Him like the people did at the triumphal entry and receiving Him the way that the world's going to receive Him in Revelation 19 when He comes upon His white horse and He comes down here and wages war with all that's sinful and wicked and unholy and drives it from this planet and sets up His throne in this world. Amen. Where He rules and reigns with a rod of iron. There's a difference between receiving Him like Jerusalem did, and the way the earth is going to have to one day, when you open up your heart and say, yeah, I'd like Jesus to take me to heaven. That's one thing. But when you open up your heart and say, I want Jesus to sit on the throne of my heart. I want Him to drive out everything that's not like God. And I want Him to exalt everything that is holy and righteous. I want Him to change my life. I want Him to change my schedule, the way I think, the way the desires I have. There's a difference in receiving Him like the people in Jerusalem and receiving Him the way that people are going to have to on the day when Jesus comes again. I say that if you really receive Him, He's got to be Lord of your life. He can rearrange whatever He wants to. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Get right after there. Well, you can read verse 1. Just start verse 1. Go down to verse 3. All right.
And everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him.
All right, go ahead.
This,
yeah.
We know that we love the children of God.
How?
When? We love God.
When we love
God.
Oh yeah, and keep, when we love God and keep His commandments. That's how you know when you love God. He said, what He said there was that if you're born again, you love God, you love all that's begotten of God. And He said, not only that, you show your love for God by keeping His commandments. Now go ahead.
For this is the love of God.
Yeah, it is. No, they're not. Not when you're in love. His commandments are not grievous when you're in love. Oh, no, they're not. There's something that you enjoy. Is that all we have there, brother?
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
All right, now that.
It is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
All right.
And who is he that
Brother Doyle done got over in my next point. But let me just tell you, born again people love God and keep His commandments. That's just a simple truth. You want to please God. You say, boy, I tell you what, I just hate that commandment about stealing. Well, if you love God, you don't. I just hate that commandment about not bearing false witness. I love to talk about people. Well, if you love God, how can you tear down people that's made in the image of God? Huh? Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, I just cannot stand that scripture that talks about this or that. You know, I could throw in there just practically anything because some people hate just about all different variations of the Bible. But you know, when you fall in love with God, it's not grievous, it's wonderful to obey Him. Now, I heard Bill Burkett tell the story one time about that little boy, Billy, that was going to see his girlfriend, Susie, and he met a bully on the way. And this bully told him, said, I'm not going to let you pass until you stand on your head. And he said, I'm not going to stand on my head for you or anybody else. And he gets to scuffling and fighting and finally gets past the bully. He gets over his little girlfriend's house, Sally or Susie or whichever name I used. But whichever one it was. And she said, you know what, Billy, I think it'd be the cutest thing if you stood on your head. And he about breaks his neck trying to stand on his head. You know, the difference was he wanted to impress that little girl. Amen. And the bully, he didn't want to impress him with anything but his stubbornness. Amen. I'll tell you what, when you love God, you just about break your neck to do anything he wants you to do. Oh, it's not a grievous thing. It's something that you love to do because you're born again. You're part of the family of God. You're part of His family. Just like a little child, amen, that really loves his parents, wants to be obedient and pleasing to them. I'll tell you, that little child is what we should be, children that look to our Father in heaven and say, we want to please you in all ways. Amen. The next point Brother Doyle got into was that born again people overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Brother Doyle, would you read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16? And we'll find out what the world is. Okay. Things. Now, what are these things? Yeah. Oh, wait a second. You mean I can't be in love with the world and love with God at the same time? You mean I can't have the love of God dwelling in my heart and the love of the world in my heart at the same time? You mean one moves out the other? Is that what that scripture is saying? They can't exist at the same place at the same time and say, well, I kind of love God and love the world at the same time. This scripture says you really don't. Amen. So worldly churches and worldly religions and stuff have just better be careful about, oh, how I love Jesus and oh, how I love the world at the same time. What's in the world? Let's hear what's in the world.
For all that is in the world.
Yeah.
The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
That's right. It's just of the world. And when you have the worldly desires and the worldly prides and the worldly things and you fulfill them and you love them, that's not of God. That is not of God. You know, I know the people that's fallen in love with the world and prayed through and felt like God gave them the okay to violate His word. To violate His word. Can I tell you? They may have had a fleshly appearance or a demon appearance, but that wasn't an angel and it wasn't God that spoke to them, telling them to disobey God's word. Amen. God and His word agree. Amen. God and His word are equal as far as in their opinion. I mean, God is the author of the word, the authority behind the word. But I'm telling you, you're not going to get God in an argument with the Bible. Amen. No, you're not. If you get God in an argument with the Bible, you've got the wrong God somewhere. Because we sure have the right Bible right here. I don't know about your God, but I do know about my Bible. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Born again people love their family. Brother Kevin, would you look up 1 John 4, 7 and 8? Beloved, let's love one another.
For love is of God.
And everyone. Yeah. God and. Yeah, He does. Wait a second. What if they don't love?
He that loveth not, knoweth not God.
Oh, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Why?
For God is love.
Oh, yeah. All right. You get that? If you're born again, you love your family. You know, I don't care how bad parents, children have, there is a natural love for that mom and dad in them. I don't care. It doesn't matter if they're a fighting family. If they divorce, it absolutely tears that child's heart apart. I don't care. I don't care how mean everything is at home. They love their mama and daddy. They just do. It's something that's there. And I'll tell you, it's just as natural for somebody that's born again to love the church as it is for Jesus to love the church. Amen. Because we're part of the family of God. That's a part of our nature. Now, let me just tell you. You know, I believe to a certain extent, we can disagree about stuff. I mean, We can disagree. My wife and I have disagreed, but we're still loyal to each other. We're still faithful to each other. My boys and I have disagreed at times, but we're still fiercely loyal to each other about things. My wife didn't even like coffee for years and years and years, but I finally won the argument, and she loves coffee now. I mean, we never argued over that or anything, but you know what I'm saying? You disagree about stuff and still live together and enjoy each other and be loyal to each other. And that's exactly the way it is with church. There may be things we disagree on. There may be things that we don't actually look at the exact same way. But at the same time, we're still loyal to each other. Still loyal to each other. We're loyal because we're family. Amen. We want the best for one another. When one hurts, we all hurt. Or that's the way it should be. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. That's the way the Bible teaches that we should be, because we're all a part of the family of God. And I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying that you won't ever be offended by me or any of these good people here. But I'll tell you what, we will always be loyal to each other. Amen? You can get to talking and being divisive and backbiting and stuff like that and trying to cause division and strife, and that's not a part of God's family right there. And I'm not here to fight with y'all, but I sure want to advance the kingdom of heaven upon this earth. And there's too big a kingdom for me to work in to stick around and get carnal and fight all the time. We're not fighting. We're not fighting. Praise God, we're not. But I'll tell you, we need to love one another and care about one another and have compassion towards one another. Would you all forgive us? Would you forgive us if for some reason maybe you're not coming as faithful as you should if we called you up and said we missed you? Huh? You're part of our family. We like to see you. Surely you wouldn't be offended in us if we thought maybe spiritually you was running a little temperature and we just kind of checked your fever and say, are you feeling okay spiritually? We're part of the family of God, aren't we? We're supposed to be concerned. We can get criticized both ways, church, and I have been. Some people have said, well, they didn't do enough. They didn't even care. And then I've heard some people say, they's always bugging me. They's always on me. They's always telling me how to live. Always tell me what to do. Always jumping my case. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Which one's worse? If people want to leave, they'll get it in their mind and find offense about something. I'd just almost rather have them offended that we's always trying to help them some way. Hey, man, I don't want to offend nobody. And I'll tell you this right now, folks. Hey, man, born again, people love their family. They're free to forgive. They're not only free to forgive, but free with mercy. The Bible tells us that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'll tell you, some people must not ever think that they need mercy. The truth of the matter is we all need mercy. Amen. We've all got our little quirks, don't we? Amen. You may not be living in what I'd just say overt sin, but you may have a personality quirk, just like I do, that gets on people's nerves here and there. But you know, listen, folks, we got to be merciful with folks. We got to be merciful because in all reality, we all need mercy at some time or another in our lives. I've known of people, and I hope that y'all, I want to be careful in this. I know of some very good, godly people, very godly people, that when somebody would mess up, they would not let them get up. They wouldn't do it. Amen. I'm for discipline, don't get me wrong, and I'm for people getting back into a place of trust, but I've known of people, in all reality, they wouldn't let somebody else get up. They didn't want them to. You know why? Deep down in their heart, they was bitter at that person. And they didn't want them to get up. Amen. I've seen the same people that were so unmerciful, and I'm not going to tell any specific stories because you never know where this CD will get, but boy, when it was their family, they didn't want anybody to talk. When it was their family, they didn't want people pushing them down. When it was their family, it was a whole different story. Hey, man, I just want you to know we're all family. If you're a child of God, you're my brother, my sister, my mother, father in the Lord, however that it's going to be. And I'll just tell you right now, I want people to thrive in the Lord. I want people to thrive in the Lord, don't you? I'd like for us to be more merciful than we have ever been. I'm not talking about compromise. Y'all understand that. I ain't gonna quit preaching against sin, but I don't even know why I have to say that. Mercy is a Bible concept. I tell you, we can compromise on mercy just like we can compromise on holiness. Amen. And Jesus raked the Pharisees over the coals. Why? Because they paid tithe of mint and cumin. And he said, these things ought you to have, well, I'm not getting it just right, but and not left the others undone. You ought to have done these and not left the others undone. And he talked about the weightier matters. And one of those weightier matters was mercy. And what he was saying was, listen, you've been sticklers on tithing, and that's okay, he said. I'll tell you what, you've neglected, you've compromised on something that's even more important than tithing, and that is mercy. Amen. We're all part of God's family. Born again people love each other. Born again people are merciful with each other. You know, one attribute of love in 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it's 7 or 8, somewhere in there, said, love thinketh no evil. And I think you could apply that several different ways. It could mean that if you're really got that pure love, you don't think sensual or wicked or evil in your heart. You don't plan evil towards somebody. But I'll tell you what. Love is not as suspicious. It's really not. Love's not suspicious. Some people say, well, I have the gift of discernment. No, you have the gift of suspicion. Amen. There's no such gift of discernment. Did you know that? It's discerning of spirits. It's not discernment. It's telling if there's an evil spirit involved and what sort of spirit people are of. That's a little bit different than being suspicious all the time. I know some people that's suspicious of everybody and is surprised if they do good. That is not the spirit we want around here. I've done discern that spirit, if I may say it, and it's not of a born-again child of God. Amen. It's something that born-again children of God need to put off of that old man and put on the new man. Oh, glory be to Jesus. You know, I know I'm going slow and maybe monotonous to some people, but I sure feel the Lord here today. Praise God. You know, people out here in this world have a lot of bickering and fighting, and I know sinners right now, and I feel so sorry for them because they can't trust anybody. They can't trust anybody. You tell them something, they don't believe you. I don't know if it's because they're so big a liars in their own heart that they can't trust anybody. And they think everybody's lying to them just like they lie to everybody else. Or if they've been so lied to out in this world and they've been treated so bad, they have just said, well, I'm not going to be taken in by anybody ever again. I'll tell you, that's not the way it should be in the house of God. Amen. Oh, if people are hurt, we ought to be healers. Amen. We don't pour salt in the wound. Amen. We do our best to heal that by the grace of God, by the love of God shown through the house of God, through the children of God. Amen. If I may say this, the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. And sometimes people do get offended when that we love them enough to talk to them about things. I mean, listen, folks, Jesus offended people. And you ain't better, and I'm not better than Jesus. How in the world can we go through this life without offending somebody by telling them the truth? But we've got to understand as well to speak the truth in love. I know some people that's ready to rebuke, but don't mix much compassion towards the person in it. Amen. And what they say may be right. If I could bring up something, honey, and I want you to forgive me before I say this. But I have a very submissive wife. I mean that. But there have been a few times she's tried to get me to do some things, and it's probably the right thing to do. But the way she came across when she said it just made me not want to do it. And I didn't do it. Now, that's not the normal everyday thing. It's not. I'm telling you the truth. It's not the normal everyday thing. And I could say this to you wives or husbands that have lost spouses. You can get to the place where that Christianity is something that is a nag. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, we need to be careful about the way we say some things. And we of the family of God better be careful as well not to get too easily offended. If you're the type person that's always easily offended, you've got anger down deep inside, and it doesn't take much to get you angry. The children of God don't go around with a chip on their shoulder just waiting for somebody to knock it off. Great peace have they that love thy law, and in nothing are they easily offended, the Bible says. People that are easily offended, I just guarantee you, they have a bitterness down in their heart, that in all reality they hadn't got over. And any time anybody says anything, it could be just a joke, they get offended. You got to get that anger out of your heart. You got to get that bitterness out of your heart. Yes, you do. Amen. Can't be. I realize sometimes people are going through trials and they might be a little edgy or tender, and we need to consider that as everybody. But please, please, please don't be the type of person we have to walk around on eggshells around all the time. That's not right either, is it? Don't you love us enough just to give us the benefit of the doubt that if we say something and it sounds wrong, just say, well, they didn't mean that the way it sounded. Amen. Amen. That's true. We need love, a charity thinketh no evil. Say, well, you're just teaching us to be gullible. I may be teaching you to be Christians. I've been fooled a lot of times. I really have. I've honored people and lifted them up. Been a few times God dealt with me about somebody being wrong, and I knew it before anybody else. But I tell you what, there have been a lot of times I was fooled. And I'm glad to a certain extent. I'd hate to be the type of person go around can't trust anybody. Amen. Let me just say this as well. On this being easily offended. On this being easily offended stuff. You know, we got to be free to forgive. And I'll do this study, but I'll bring it up some other time. But in the Bible, you can pass off. I think I talked about this maybe this week, last week. You can pass off something, you forgive something. Or talk to the person. They may not mean it the way that you took it. And I have taken things wrong. And I've had people come up to me and say, boy, I thought you was aggravated. I wasn't at a bit that I remembered. You got to be careful about being easily offended. Born again people love their family. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 4 through 10. tells us of the hope that the new birth gives. The Bible says, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I was reading in chapter 4. Chapter 3 and verses 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know. Now, listen. Ye know. Do you know this? Ye know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins. Oh, glory be to God. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And I'll tell you, I don't know some people even read their Bible. That is in the Bible. I'm not reading to you from Reader's Digest or anything like that. I know Reader's Digest, if they did make a Bible, and they probably cut that part out. It said, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Like father, like son. "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Yeah, like father, like son. "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Like father, like son. "For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." What are the works of the devil? Sin. Amen. He can destroy them in me. He can destroy them in you. That's the hope of the new birth. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what sin you're bound by. Jesus came to destroy that. He came to destroy it. He came to absolutely rid you of it from your heart out, from your mind. I'm not saying that born again people, when they're newborn, are not like a newborn baby, don't have things to learn, don't have muscles to strengthen, don't have skills to learn. But I'm telling you the simple facts. When somebody is born again, that is the end of sin having rulership over their lives. Amen. They're not in the family of the devil anymore. Praise God. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." My friends, I'm preaching to you from the Word of God that the born-again experience does not need to be dumbed down. We need to believe it and experience it in our own hearts and lives. There is a life-changing experience. You say, "But Brother Lloyd, what if I trip up?" The Bible doesn't say that it's impossible for you to sin. It says that it is possible for you to live holy. That's something sinners do not have. They do not have the possibility to live holy. Even their righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm telling you, the righteousness that is from God is that new man that has been created in righteousness and in true holiness. In 1 John 2 and 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." In other words, there's victory. There's power. There's power in this new birth. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." You know what he just said? He said, God has given you the power as children of God to live above sin. But if the devil does trip you up, don't stay in that sin. Don't wallow in your failure. Get up, ask for forgiveness, and go on and do better. Amen. There is an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yes, if you sin, go on. Repent, go on. But don't stop. Amen. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Well, hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, you see, this is why it's so horrible. Isn't it a horrible thing to try to dumb down the gospel? Isn't it a terrible thing to all of sinners to try to make church into a social club that doesn't do anything but save you from hell. I'm telling you, the gospel saves you from sin, period. Amen. Romans chapter 8, and I hope you all bear with me. I hope this isn't getting too boring to you. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Well, you don't walk around with a guilty load on your heart and mind. But let's go on. There is therefore now no guilt, no shame to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If your pursuit is the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation when you're walking after the Spirit of God, my friends. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. The law, all it could do was condemn us. All it could do is say, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And if you do this, you're guilty. If you do this, you're condemned. If you do this, judgment is coming. And I'll tell you what the law could not do. Amen. God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh not only set us free from the condemnation of sin, but also set us free from the power of sin itself. And I want you to listen to this. Amen. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You can live a life that's victorious. Amen. The righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in you. Why? Because Jesus died upon a cross. Why? Because the Spirit of God has been given to you. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Are you taking care of the flesh? Are you watching television, listening to the country music and rock and roll and watching ungodly movies? You're taking care of the flesh. Hey man, are you reading dirty novels and reading stuff in magazines you shouldn't read? Or are you looking at pornography or engaging in something on the internet that's not godly? I just want you to know you're taking care of the flesh. Hey man, it's about time you get born again. Start taking care of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. Take care of the things of the Spirit. Of prayer, of Bible reading, of going to church, of getting filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. For to be carnally minded is death. Well, it must not matter if I live a little fleshly or carnal life. That's not no big deal, is it? Well, I'll just tell you, not according to the Bible. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That means it's an enemy against God. Amen. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. But here's the turnaround. Amen. Here's the turnaround. Are you born again here today? Amen. Have you receive Jesus, amen, not as a passing king, not as a passing prophet, but you exalted Him as Lord, amen. Oh yeah, those that are in the flesh do it this way, but oh, listen to this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. When you get born again, you get that Spirit of Christ move inside of you. That's what changes you. That's what puts the divine nature inside of you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. The body of sin is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise the name of the Lord. I just want you to know that when you get born again, there's a transformation. The Spirit of God moves inside of you. Amen. Changes your body, changes your actions. When the trumpets sound, there's going to be a resurrection. Amen. And that same Spirit that changed your life and changed inside is just going to overflow and boil out. And it's going to change your body. And the soul that was redeemed is going to have a body that is redeemed. And we're going to live forever and ever in the presence of God, in His glory and in His holiness. Why? Because we's born again. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. When Jesus was transfigured on the mountain in Matthew 17, Bible used the word transfigured. That is the Greek word metamorpho, like metamorphosize. If y'all, you know, about a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. Amen. It had the nature of a butterfly in it all the time. Glory to God. It just got changed. And oh, that's what happened. Jesus had that glory inside of him all the time. All the time that glory was there. It just moved from the inside to the outside that day. And I tell you, we've got the nature of that glorious company that's in the book of Revelation. We've got it right down inside of us. Because we're born again people. We've been changed inside. But one of these days the trumpet's going to sound. And that glory that's inside is going to burst outside. Going to transform our whole bodies. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, can you see here? It's a terrible shame the way some people have dumbed down born again. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, I've got a few more scriptures to read. Y'all forgive me. I hope you're not bored here. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Well, what are we debtors to? If you're a debtor, you owe them something, right? Amen. What are we debtors to? If you're born again, we're debtors not to the flesh. In other words, you don't owe that old carnal way of life a thing. You don't have to live that way anymore. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Oh yeah, you don't owe the flesh anything anymore. I'll tell you what you can do to it. You can put it to death. You can mortify the deeds of the body. How? By living like a child of God. By walking in the Spirit. By walking after the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm telling you, nobody else has that promise. Amen. People that's led by the devil, led by carnality, going to nightclubs, amen, and singing wicked songs, they do not have this promise, my friends. But the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Hallelujah. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's something down deep inside of us. It says, Father, and it says it with a familiarity and with a glory and with a wonder and with an awe that changes our life, that dramatically rescues us when temptation comes. We are not children of the devil. We do not act that way. Amen. We're a child of God. We're children of the living God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, I like this. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Hey, listen. If you're a child of God, you're joint heirs of the inheritance that God has given to His Son, Jesus. Joint heirs. Joint heirs. It's God's will that Jesus be the firstborn among many brethren, and I'm closing. Can I tell you why the devil is so interested in setting up a doctrine of the new birth? It's not radical. It's not like, wow, that's a new beginning. You know why? Because he knows if he can get people to even doubt their sonship, he has them. I know the devil tempted Jesus to do three things: make the stones into bread, to jump off from the pinnacle, and to bow down and worship him. But in each of those temptations, there was another temptation. If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. If Jesus ever said, yeah, I'm the Son of God, I'll prove it to you. Listen, when you're a child of God, you don't owe it to the devil to have to prove it to him. Amen. You don't owe him a thing. You don't owe the flesh anything. He didn't owe the flesh, the world, or the devil anything in any of those temptations. If thou be the Son of God, I don't have to prove that to you. I don't have to prove that to you. I am Son of God. And if anything proved it, it was by the way he said no to sin. And here this morning, I want to tell every one of you that's born again, your key to victory is knowing whose child you are. If the devil ever gets you away from that, if the devil ever gets you to a place where you're doubting it and it's not on your mind, then's when he has you. But here this morning, before we close, and I'll be closing with this, God wants everybody to be his children. For this cause, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to make all people his children, all people God's children. That's what Jesus came to do. If there's one thing that Jesus did was reveal the love of the Father for sinners, for backsliders. You say, Brother Lord, I don't know if I'd get welcomed home. Oh, wait a second. You see, you're not believing what the Bible says. Jesus told a parable just for you. And if you doubt it, you better listen to this parable. It's in Luke chapter 15 where he told about that prodigal son that went away and wasted his substance on riotous living and came to himself and said, I'm going to go home. And when he went home, he had it all planned out. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm no longer worthy to be a son. Would you just make me a hired hand? Yeah. That's all right. To a certain extent, we as sinners need to feel our unworthiness. To a certain extent, we need to feel a sense of desperation that we'd do anything just to be in the Father's house. I mean, y'all understand, I'm not totally down on what that boy said, but it seems to me like there was a little bit of doubt in that boy's mind if his dad would receive him back. And I'll tell you, whatever doubts there was erased when he saw that old man run down the road, hug him and kiss him, and restore back the dignity of being a son. You say, Brother Lord, that new birth, that's powerful what you just said, but I don't know if God wants me. Hey, he wants you. He wants you to be his son. He don't want you to just be a hired servant. He don't want you to just be somebody that tags along with the rest of the family. You may not have the same job as everybody. Nobody has the same job. We've got different chores around the house. But listen, listen. Every child is loved the same by the Father. Everyone may have different responsibilities, but I just want you to know, God loves every child the same. And it seemed like that even that elder brother doubted it. Said, why couldn't I have had a party? Well, you killed this fatted calf and I didn't even get a goat. I didn't even get a kid. And the father said, all that I have is thine. I don't love him any better than I do you. It's yours. Every bit of, listen, God wants to take you back. If you've backslid, if you've never been saved, He wants to take you in. He wants you to be born again. He really does. He really does. You say, I don't know if I can make it. No, you can't make it being a child of the devil or a child of Adam. No, you can't. But I'll tell you, you can make it as a child of God. Praise God. Oh, glory. Heavenly Father. Oh, I remember that girl from Africa we went to Bible school with. And she'd say this so reverently, Lord, and she'd say, Dad, I need this, Dad, when she'd pray. Daddy, would you please save my lost loved one? Well, if I could just say it that way, Daddy, we've got some people here that's not a part of your family, but I know you want them to be. We have some people here that may be living a defeated life, and I know that's not your plan either. Dear God, I pray for victory in both lives. I pray that every one of us would just feel loved in the family of God, that you'd work in our hearts and lives and give us victory. Lord, I thank you. I give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. While heads are bowed, I want to ask you, would you be saved today? Would you be a part of the family of God today? Would you come and receive Jesus? I mean, exalt Him. Say, whatever you want to do with my life, do it. Forgive me of my sins. Would you do it? If you think that we want to cast out or you, I tell you, it hurts every person here, I'm sure, when somebody backslides. And if you're wondering about a welcome, we have one for you. But more than that, God has one for you. I want to ask you, would you like to be a part of the family of God? There's people that's joining gangs and doing stuff just to try to belong to something. What a terrible thing to belong to. Don't you want to belong to God's family? Would you come right now? Come to this altar right now. And let God change your life. Let God change your life. I know, really, I can see it. There's some of y'all really deep down in your heart, you want to be saved. I know you do. Why not be saved? Why not be saved? Well, I've tried and failed. But God's not going to reject you for that. Come on. He wants you to try again. Come on, get back up. Try to walk again. Try to do something for the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Come on, that's it. Come on. Oh, we want Dina to go to heaven and be a part of our family. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There's others here that we want you to go to heaven with us. Would you come? Come on. Come on. Come on. I feel the love of God reaching out for people. You saved, don't you? You understand that, don't you? You understand we want you saved. You understand we want you to go to heaven with us, don't you? Come on. Come on, let God change your life. Let God change your life. I'd like for us all to stand and would you raise your hands if you're a child of God and thank Him for the great blessings of being in the family of God? Lord, I want to thank you. I want to praise you for the new birth, Lord. Oh, I want to thank you. I'd like for some of y'all to help Dina pray here. If you've had problems, if you felt more defeated, I'd like for you to come up here and claim your inheritance with God. Come on, let's everybody come around the altar. We can all be thankful. Sinner friend, we sure enjoy praying with you. We want you to be saved. We want you to be right with God. Oh, let God touch you. Let God help you.